Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock. Time for Sarah Cazell to take us through social studies once again. Hi, Sarah.
Hey.
Hello, Sarah.
How are we doing, guys?
Oh, good, good.
Good, good. Welcome back, Vince.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Okay.
Like every week you're telling me welcome back.
I know. Pretty soon, just on Mondays, I'm only going to welcome you back.
What the heck's going on?
Even though we've all been gone. All right, welcome on into social studies, everybody. We do this every day at 1 o'clock. And if you don't already, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. Get the individual handles followed as well. Dan Bickley, Jarrett Carlin, Vince Murata. Follow everyone. How does that sound? So let's start with the Phoenix Suns. They won last night, 133-130 over the Houston Rockets. Now, too close of a game, considering what Houston is working with right now. We're asking which Arizona team struggles the most in end-of-game situations. Which team do you trust the least to make the right decisions and close out wins late in the game? We've got the Cardinals, the D-backs, and the Suns. Which do you trust the least?
The least? Ooh, good.
Yes.
It's not the Suns. They win these games.
Mm-hmm.
The Diamondbacks have played four games, eliminating them. And much like Dan Bickley, who brings up the way 2020 ended for the Arizona Cardinals, that's a frustration that hasn't been completely melted away yet. I'm voting Cardinals on that.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any other way to vote?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure the Diamondbacks are going to have a lot of chances to close games. I don't think they're going to be really good at it if they did.
Yeah, I mean, the one game was the opening game with Bumgarner, where they came back, took the lead, and then blew it anyway.
Right, and blew it anyways.
Yeah.
But I do think the way the Cardinals ended last year, that was really profound. So I'm voting that way, too.
All right.
Absolutely. I voted for the Cardinals as well. So did 43% of our voters. They say the Cardinals are the team they trust the least in late game situations. 37% went with the D-backs. 20% went with the Suns. But as you guys just noted, a Sports Kebab fan club tweeted us, Jarrett, is that your burner? When was the last time the D-backs were in a game long enough to blow it? So,
yeah. Right.
And it's a Sports Kebab fan club. That must have a ton of followers, right?
Oh, yeah.
One.
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 That does sound like my fan club. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Tell your dad to step up the efforts a little bit there, Jarrett.
No. Alex Carsey responded and said, the Cardinals were literally painful to watch the last half of the year because of this. Heart pains? I don't know. At least the Suns win all the close ones. The D-backs have zero expectations.
You know me. I'm the literally police. I will allow that usage of literally
pains?
From Alex. Yes.
Really?
It was literally painful.
Okay, I would think it was like figuratively painful. But it's
Sarah,
not my hill to climb.
When you punch walls, it hurts.
Okay, so I don't punch walls. I don't throw furniture.
Either.
I don't do those things. Guess I'm not fan enough. All right, moving on to our next question. If this year's Phoenix Suns team had a motto or a catchphrase, what would it be? Could be pertaining to the late game struggles or really anything as they still continue to win in the second half of the season.
Right now?
Yes.
I would, it's not original, I would borrow a phrase that was made famous in 1983 by the Chicago White Sox. Winning ugly. Yeah. Mm. Vic, you remember that team.
Chet Lemon.
Tom Pachoric. Jerry Dibzinski.
Eric Soderholm.
Greg Luzinski.
What year was this?
1983.
83.
Lamar Hoyt.
Bill Rodney.
He might have been gone by then.
Clay Carroll.
I'll allow that, too. Clay.
Julio Cruz. George Foster.
Harold Baines.
Oh, of course. He wore number 3. I don't know why I know that.
Because you were a fan.
I was. I did like Harold Baines.
So but any other...
Ralph Garr. Dick Tindreau. Now, Dick Tindreau had a mustache.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
I got to pull some Dick Tindreau cuts from him.
Yeah, please do.
What was his most famous catchphrase?
Okay, so winning ugly, is that what we're going with?
Hey, that's my answer. It's lame.
No,
I'm sure our clever listeners came up with something better.
They might have.
This is the first time really in Suns history that they've had a good team that's been predicated on defense. And that's not always the prettiest thing. So, yeah, I'll stick with it.
It does work. It absolutely works. Lee says a win is a win.
Yep.
Lauren Ortega, not an NBA Finals, but an NBA Finals ring. Phoenix Fans says the Peak and Valley Boys. Huh?
Oh.
Peak and Valley Boys. That's a pretty good one.
Well done. Nice turnover phrase there.
Yes. Douglas Rhodes says, and you can put this one in the old deep freeze. Never mind. It's a 1-point game with 3 seconds left. And then this one, I think, is my favorite from Tyler K.
This is a good one.
Got to stick with me. Oh, snap. We lost to the worst team in the league. Oh, snap. We have the second best record in the league. Oh, snap. We might actually make the playoffs. Oh, snap. We may play the Lakers in the first round. Oh, snap. Monty might win coach of the year. Oh, snap. Book is playing like an MVP. It doesn't have much of a flow to it, but we can workshop
that. We just shorten it to oh, snap.
Right.
I really like that one. Okay, and then getting to the very controversial question that Vince teased coming out of last segment. Neither of you are really all that into the One Shining Moment song, right?
I love the montage.
But the song.
I think the song is lame as hell. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're right about it, but again, I'm terribly biased. I told this story yesterday. In covering a lot of Final Fours and championship games, okay, you get done and you're really on a super tight deadline. And you're sitting there at courtside trying to write and trying to come up with a lead paragraph. And there's confetti flying around your head and they're blaring this song. And they just play it on a loop, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, I've been conditioned to despise everything about it.
I like the montage.
Yeah, I like the montage too, but
in
the song
fact,
is.
I think
cheesy.
I want to rewrite the lyrics to One Shining Moment to better indicate what college basketball is all about now.
What?
That might be a fun project.
Okay.
If I was a good planner, I would have had that done for today. But
that's okay.
That's all right. That's fine. Yeah, you've got Jarrett interested.
Oh, I love it when Vinny gets into a song parody. It's very
it
rare.
It happens once every 5 years.
I know. He doesn't. It's because he's so meticulous. It takes him forever to do it, and it sounds great when it's done.
It's a masterpiece, yeah.
Not like mine.
Yeah, definitely not like your catalog, Carlin.
Catalog.
And I know when I say stuff like that, people get mad. They love that song.
I know. People do want to protect.
Love that song.
Great
song. Protect that song, but we have plenty of recommendations to replace it. Stephen F. says he thinks that should be replaced by The Sound of Silence for My Bracket. We've got Billy Joel's Pressure or Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees. Did Billy Joel do a song called Pressure?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the other one.
Thinking of the Queens.
Yeah.
And David Bowie's.
Yes. I don't really know why, but Lobo Jangles recommends My Humps by Fergie.
Because it's
a fun song.
It's provocative. It gets the people going.
Gary Williams likes I Stand Alone by Godsmack.
Mm-hmm. It's a good song.
Man, Basketball by Curtis Blow, if we wanted to get really literal with it.
Yeah.
Why is it that basketball has such cool songs and baseball has such lame songs?
Because in basketball, you're allowed to be cool. In baseball, you're not.
I was gonna say, because basketball is cool and baseball is lame? You answered yourself there.
If you have a personality, you get booed.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that about sums it up, doesn't it?
Yes, you're right.
True.
Okay. Well, I leave you with that.
I think it needs to be an instrumental that replaces it.
And okay.
I have a suggestion for Song of the Day later on.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
We
call don't tell Carlin now. He'll forget. He'll never remember.
Yeah, I'll tell you at 1:40.
Okay.
Cool. That way you get like 20 seconds to load it up. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Social studies every day at 1 o'clock. Don't forget to follow Sarah on social media,
Absolutely.
Too.
Oh, okay.
Throw out that handle, Sarah.
At Sarah Cazell, just my first and last name.
At Sarah Fox.
No! No!
Sarah, she has great interactions on Twitter, too.
Yeah, she does.
Oh,
you had a
you.
Very good question poll thing yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
What was it?
My question? that I'm trying to pull up now. It was, okay, so we talked about this on social studies. I knew that Gonzaga was going to win and run away with it in last night's game. That very clearly did not happen. So I asked the Twitter followers, what was your most blatantly wrong sports prediction in recent history? And I've got some really funny responses. Jordan Bird responded just with a photo of Matt Leinart holding up a jersey.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a good one.
Let's get into that later on in the show, too.
There you go. I'll send you the tweet so you can see it.
Let's steal from Sarah's Twitter account.
Why not?
Look, it's almost Friday somewhere, right? Somewhere.
Australia.
We can ease into the finish line. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL has his dream job, but he might want another one. We'll fill you in next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
With all the sports on the TV last night, I had to set up the DVR to tape Jeopardy. It was the first episode hosted by Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And I haven't even seen much in terms of reaction on how he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll form my own opinion when I watch the episode later today.
Okay.
But one thing did go viral from Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
In Final Jeopardy, sometimes the questions are hard for the contestants. They don't really have an answer, so they'll write down something frivolous, maybe say hi to their kids or something like that.
Right.
One contestant didn't know the answer, so he took to basically trolling Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0.
Who wanted to kick that field goal? Going back to the NFC Championship game. And I actually like the way Aaron Rodgers handled that.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Uh-huh.
We talked about it a lot the day after that game. What are you doing? Are you trying to win the game?
Yeah. What exactly are you doing? That's great level trolling is what that is.
It is. And then Aaron Rodgers, the Jeopardy Twitter account, put this out. Aaron Rodgers is behind the scenes interaction with the contestant, Scott.
I can see on the podium. And I was like, please put something about the field goal on there. You will always be all time in my book, my friend. My first show, and that's what you said at the end. Thank you for that.
That's pretty good. He did an interview with The Ringer, too. Claire McNeary wrote this piece. And the question was, a lot of people joked that Alex Trebek had the ultimate dream job on Jeopardy. He was paid pretty well to work just 40-something days a year. So I've got to ask, would you ever consider giving up football to host Jeopardy? His response was, I don't think I'd need to give up football to do it. They film 46 days a year. I worked 187 this year in Green Bay. That gives me 178 days to do Jeopardy. So I feel like I could fit in 46 into that 178 and make it work.
Wow.
It would be a dream job for sure, and I'm not shy at all about saying I want the job. That's how I went into it. I want an opportunity to be in the mix.
Wow. Wow.
I kind of...
What were the reviews of him?
Jared, have you seen any reviews?
Good.
He
was following Dr. Oz, who everyone hated. So that's all... he do nothing but go up. I mean, he has 0.0000% chance of getting the job permanently.
How do you know? What if these 2 weeks of Aaron Rodgers are, the ratings go through the roof? But from what I've read, and I haven't watched too much of it, the Mike Richards guy, who was the executive producer, who hosted a couple of other game shows, has just knocked it out of the park. But is he a big enough name to do it?
He was lame also. He was okay. Katie Couric was pretty good.
Who was the worst? Dr. Oz?
Dr. Oz was the worst.
Worse than Ken Jennings?
Ken Jennings was okay, too. Yeah. They're all fine. It's not the type of game show hosting where you do too much more than just read a bunch of questions. So, Vince Murata could do it.
I I know he's a huge fan, and my respect level for Aaron Rodgers has gone up because he's talked so much in all these interviews that he's done now with this coinciding with his Jeopardy stint.
Right.
About how much he loves trivia.
Uh-huh.
See if you can get him for Vinny.
Wow.
Trivia.
You know, he won Celebrity Jeopardy in,
I know.
In 2015.
I know. But I was kind of amazed that a guy could transition from being a football player. And he, I mean, he's a really smart guy. We know that. But it's not easy to host a game show.
Well, ask
Jared.
It's not. Well, yeah, yes.
I host several. All several.
Yeah, you're certainly proof of that. The idea of being a game show host, isn't being likable part of the deal? No? See, that's the thing with Aaron Rodgers is that his football persona is not exactly likable. He didn't mind being, you know, sort of villainous,
so the
if
black
you will.
The black hat wearer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers also, he's been a regular on the Pat McAfee show all season long. And there's a lot of talk still about Aaron Rodgers' future. I don't know if that heat or that talk heats up now because of his little crack of, hey, that's a good question. Why did we want to kick that field goal? But he told the Pat McAfee show that whatever the future holds, he's cool with.
I meant what I said last year, you know, about really being at peace with the whole thing. And that hasn't changed. I feel good about the way I played. I feel good about the way I led. I loved, you know, our interactions and everything that this show provided for me last year. And I think people got a raw look at, you know, honest conversation about the future. And someone who's not bitter or, you know, disappointed or frustrated about things that they realize they can't control. And my future is one of them. And I'm kind of surrendered to what's going to happen. And just confident in what I bring to the table and how I played last year and everything else is kind of for speculation, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of it.
And he kind of elaborated on the uncertain future thing. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
He says the way he played, you know, being as good as he was last year, threw a wrench in Green Bay's future plans.
We're exactly where we were last year when I made comments after the draft and throughout the season. You know, I don't feel like any of that's changed. Even my comments directly after the last game, there was some, and we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Some people who thought, you know, who made assumptions based on what I said. Nothing's really changed. You know, my future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like a phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain which direction that things are going to go. All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired. But ultimately, ultimately, you know, things haven't really changed on that front.
He says what's on his mind.
He sure does.
And I'll say this. I agree with him 100%. He played at a level last year that did you hear the name Jordan Love after September last year?
No.
Neither did I.
Yeah. And so the idea of Jordan Love being on that roster, obviously he's not letting this go. And you know what? It's hard to blame him. It's hard to see a quarterback who has done more for a franchise than that guy over the course of his franchise, of his career. And to have them draft a quarterback to replace Aaron Rodgers at some point in time really kind of, he used the word, timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes pride in disrupting their timeline. Oof.
Should we start the Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco rumors yet?
Yeah. That's another one of my fears, man.
Oh, man, that would be horrible. That would be at least immediately worse than the Deshaun Watson.
We need to remind everybody just how awful it is in San Francisco right now. All the professional athletes need to know all the smash and grabs that's going on there.
Dan had his car broken into.
I did.
You don't need that stress, Aaron.
Isn't that bad in Santa Clara?
In the middle of the afternoon. Right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury, too. Yeah.
Bic wants his stuff back.
That's why they call it that when you leave. Man, I hate Ashbury.
Give him his stuff back.
Right. Give me my stuff back.
Coming up next, we've only seen one start from Madison Bumgarner, but how palpable is the concern over his performance? We'll get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah, look, I trust Mom. I trust Mom to be able to execute a game plan, not to make a mistake. And, you know, between he and Stephen Vogt, there's a lot of experience built in there. And, you know, you can slice up high five or six different ways. You know, if you're going to bottom line it and say that we know the result now, no brainer. I would have maybe stepped in. But look, you want to get out of that and have the pitcher leading off with some heavies coming up after Darvish the next inning. And you're attacking them with one out. So, like I said, there's a thousand ways to slice the pie. But the bottom line is, I trust the experience between Bum and Voter, and a little bit of the execution I was talking about. I know that Bum will perhaps, do a better job of making a pitch and getting the job done the next time.
Torey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, after opening day, which was a struggle for Madison Bumgarner for a second straight opening day, I was really, really mm-hmm. distracted, because instrumental version of Cherry Pie by Warrant, was it not?
Yeah, that's what that was, wasn't it?
That's what they should replace.
I like it.
One shiny like moment it. With.
Yeah, that would be fabulous, wouldn't it?
Look, we know Torey Lovello has...
J.D. Lane,
the
Warren.
The rest of the guys in the band that I don't know.
Why?
J.D. Lane shows up in mustache, not a mustache, next week. I call foul.
You know it will. It just got locked in stone.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, continue.
Although Jarrett might write it down and then misplace the piece of paper.
Or not be able to read it.
Yeah, which has happened. Right.
We know, and that was consistent throughout the shortened season last year. Torey Lovello talking about having trust in Madison Bumgarner, and it wasn't all bad. I think most Diamondbacks fans were counting, or at least hoping, Madison Bumgarner would continue where he left off. The velocity was up a little bit from where it was last year, but he did end the season last year on two good starts. That was not the case against the Padres. We'll get another look at him tomorrow. But I find this interesting, Bick, because we played some sound bites from Ken Kendrick, the managing general partner of the D-backs, from his interview yesterday with Burns and Gambo, and that was all on the Torey Lovello stuff. But this question came up, too, and I think this is a pretty interesting answer from Ken Kendrick.
Do you have concerns over the way Madison Bumgarner's pitching
right now
in the commitment?
Well, you always have concerns when a lead player isn't performing at the level that you would like him to. School is to some degree still out, I would think, there. In the Zach Greinke era, I think if we look back on that, there were early bumps in the road, I would say. But quality does prevail, and in Zach's case, I think when we look back in the 4 years roughly that he was a Diamondback, even though there were some bumps in the road, as I said, we ended up getting our money's worth, we believe, both in terms of his performance and then the players we acquired in a trade. I think we'll just have to watch and wait. First year was obviously almost not able to allow for evaluation of any player in the 60-game schedule, started when it did and all the unusual circumstance. In this season, Matt Bum has pitched one game, so I don't think we should overreact to that.
I think that's a pretty fair answer from Ken Kendrick, even down to the Zach Greinke comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Greinke was older when he got to the Diamondbacks than Madison Bumgarner is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Ken Kendrick that after the initial bumpiness, the Diamondbacks did get their money's worth for the most part. I mean, that was such a massive contract, and it was so out of character for this organization to give a contract like that. But
yeah,
he was good. He was pretty reliable.
But no playoff victories for him.
That is correct. That is correct.
I think ultimately that is kind of what they were hoping for. But whatever. I do agree that the Zach Greinke found a way to get his career back on the rails after a little bit of bumpiness. Now, whether Madison Bumgarner can do that or not, I don't know. Like I said before, the thing that kind of has me a little bit worried about this is I think they really went out of their way to protect him in this spring training. And I think that when you look at how he's maybe looking to mimic Johnny Cueto, implement some deception, that's a guy who's searching. And, you know, his velocity was a little better in his first start out. And I guess we'll just see if he can recalibrate his stuff. I don't know.
I mean, how much, and this might be semantics, but you say there's somebody that's searching. A compelling argument for that. But how much would you separate searching from somebody who realizes, I got to change what I'm doing to be successful?
I guess.
And I guess it's six of one, half dozen the other.
No, but I guess that's fine, and that's what he should be doing.
The difference is whether they're successful after they change it.
True.
Because if they're not,
I just think one term sounds more desperate than the other term.
Yeah.
Searching as opposed to adjusting.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That is true. I think that it is
probably matters. But it is desperate until he figures it out.
Yeah, and because, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him, this is probably not easy on him to come to a new city and to be lessened as a pitcher.
If Zach Gallen never gets hurt, who do you think starts opening day?
I think Zach Gallen would have.
I'm pretty confident in saying that.
Well, oh boy.
But there
you don't
is
think
also.
So, do you?
I think Bumgarner is going to start no matter what.
I mean, there's something to be said for that because if you start Bumgarner and he does have a bad out and you feel pretty good about pulling out of it in game two with Zach Gallen on the mound. Mm-hmm.
I think they still view him. They would have given him sort of the respect of his career to start opening day. But I guess we'll never know.
I'm looking up Zach Greinke's numbers. And they were not good, especially that opener. Madison Bumgarner's numbers with the Diamondbacks through 10 starts in his career. In 45 and two-thirds innings, he has a 1-4 record and a 7.09 ERA with a 1.533 whip.
Wow.
Through 10 games in his first year with the Diamondbacks. Of course, this is not going to work for me right now. Oh, it did. Zach Greinke was 5-3 in 64 and two-thirds innings with an ERA at 4.59. Certainly not indicative of his career, but three less runs over nine innings.
Wow. That's fairly significant.
There's one way to slice this. There's one way for Madison Bumgarner to go, and that's up.
Yeah. My worry is that some guys can handle diminished velocity. Some guys can't. And I'm hopeful he'll figure it. He's got to be better, I would believe. I mean, he's been so good for so long that he's got such an experience base behind him. At least that's the hope, Vinny.
Yeah, that's the hope. But on the flip side of it, and I'm not projecting this, I'm not hoping this, certainly I want this to work out, but there's been a long list of really effective pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball that just get to a point where they just lose it. They just don't have it anymore.
Oh, I know.
And it happens at different ages for a lot of guys.
Yeah, it really, really does.
But I also think when Zach Gallen is ready to return, just his presence in that rotation will take some pressure off Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that might settle everything down. I hope. Madison Bumgarner's next start is going to take place in Coors Field.
Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? But the Rockies aren't any good.
Hey, they're 1-3 just like the Diamondbacks are.
True.
They got the Dodgers. Diamondbacks got the Padres.
I gotcha.
How about Major League Baseball schedule makers throwing a bone to those two teams to start out the season?
Yeah, how about that?
By the way, can we talk about Fernando Tatis? Holy moly. You want to talk about a rough start to a season for a kid who's probably really trying hard to justify that contract?
I know.
Five errors in four games against the D-backs, and then last night takes a swing where he was trying to hit it to the moon and just... Now, I saw a report that said partially dislocated. Did you see that, too?
It was subluxation. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. Which means it popped out of its...
Ugh.
Yeah.
I guess they're awaiting MRI results today.
That's a rough start for that kid.
Well, it's smart people who know this injury say he's going to have to get surgery at some point in time.
Well, then the admission that it's bothered him since the minor leagues is lucky it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, right. Lucky he signed that contract before it
yeah,
happened.
That's what we need, is everything to get easier for the Dodgers
yeah,
this year. That's,
right,
that's
right.
exactly what
yeah,
we need.
Right.
Coming up next, a new uniform design that's got one fan base wicked upset. Bad
I like
sports
your Boston character.
Bad sports predictions and more coming up next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Eight out of the high post, couple of bounces to the basketball, give it to Booker. Booker goes back into Aiden, over the rim and in for D.A. Fade out to Šarić. He'll crank up a three-pointer. Shazam! Booker puts it on the floor. A tough shot, but he buries a 16-17 footer from the baseline left.
The Suns are back. And this is the place to get exclusive inside Suns info and to hear from Suns players, coaches, and the front office. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Most days, my mindset when I come to work is going into battle to fight for the rights of my clients. They need my help. They're injured. They have pain, loss of income. Some of them are permanently disabled, and they need a fighter to protect their rights against the more powerful large corporation.
If you've been injured, call Berg Simpson for free now at 602-777-7000. BergSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. Call 602-777-7000.
Play ball!
From the dugout to the press box, communication is crucial in baseball and your business. Benefit your bottom line by moving your phone system to the cloud with American Telephone, an authorized solution integrator for NEC servicing Arizona for over 30 years. NEC Univerge Blue Cloud Services provides a full-feature phone system, a free IP phone for each user, and more. Experience the ultimate in mobility. Call 480-991-7780. That's 480-991-7780. Call today.
Rosie here to talk about Rosie Certified Fox Valley Electric. I know the owner, and I've met many of the people that work there. They all say the same thing. What a great place to work. If you're a residential service electrician that's proud to be honest, does not like to pressure or scare people, and just likes to fix things while presenting multiple options, you give Fox Valley Electric a call, 623-587-7370, and tell them Rosie sent you. A great career opportunity for the properly qualified residential electrician.
If you're tired of the yo-yo dieting, lose pounds in inches fast with RM3 from Red Mountain Weight Loss. RM3 is a prescription medication that attacks unhealthy fat, shrinking your belly, hips, and thighs while helping you lose up to 20 pounds or more per month. It's safe for both men and women, and it's not a stimulant, so you won't feel nervous or jittery. For over 20 years now, Red Mountain's helped thousands of people lose weight and avoid surgery, and there's never been a program this successful because RM3 helps overcome issues that cause weight gain, like a slowing metabolism, hormone imbalance, or menopause. This patented medication is available only by prescription, and you can only get it at Red Mountain Weight Loss. So if diet and exercise alone aren't working, isn't it time you tried RM3? Schedule an appointment in office or by video and get RM3 delivered right to your door. Lose up to 20 pounds or more by this time next month with RM3 from Red Mountain Weight Loss. Go to redmountainweightloss.com.
Step up with Boost Mobile and get a super reliable, super fast nationwide network. Perfect for the whole family. Switch to Boost Mobile.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta, song of the day.
Remember this tune, right? Just think of bearded Sylvester Stallone in the Russian mountains getting ready for Drago!
Okay.
The training montage from the Rocky IV soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
It might be too connected to the movie to actually work for, but couldn't you see basketball highlights being shown under this?
Definitely.
Without... The ball is tipped.
I know, it's
and
so
there
disgusting.
You are.
I know. I'm with you. I am not a one shining moment. I'm not a fan of that song at all. This would work.
Or any other inspirational,
yeah.
Instrumental.
Right.
Sarah's looking at us like, Are you a One Shining Moment fan?
No, I'm in full agreement with
you guys. Oh, wow, good.
I actually think this track would work beautifully.
I'm going to take the video and recut it with this.
Boy, Vin, you got to... putting a lot on your plate here on remixes and remakes of this.
Yeah, you know, refocused.
Jared. Do you need us to refocused. Do some basketball moves out in the newsroom just to have some video to work with? I'll try and touch the ceiling for you.
Oh, no.
Wait, we got a guy that can touch the ceiling here.
Is that why you were off yesterday? Because you tried to touch the ceiling on Friday and you couldn't get up?
Oh, you saw my vertical leap attempt. Have you done
that? We could feel the attempts.
Have I done what?
Just tried to jump. Like, if you were like... back and, you know, younger and active and playing a lot of basketball, jump and try to touch the rim or whatever, hang on the rim.
I couldn't get close to the rim. I was so vertically challenged.
I tried to just jump as I would on a basketball. It was like a full body shock.
Really?
Oh, it was terrible. Jarrett was laughing at me, and I deserve to be laughed at. Anyhow, that's today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata. Your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
All right, it's March Madness related. Your Vinny Joe trivia question today. Jared Butler of the Baylor Bears was named the NCAA tournament's most outstanding player. He is the fourth straight junior to win that honor in the last four NCAA tournaments. Can you name the other three players that were juniors on their respective teams? I'll remind you of the teams. Virginia, Villanova, North Carolina.
All right, Chris Jenkins for Villanova.
No. That was their first title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they won another one after that.
Jalen Brunson.
No.
Did you say Virginia was one of the teams?
Yes.
Ty Jerome?
No.
College basketball ain't what it used to be there. Vinny.
No, yeah. No names jumping to my head.
Give up?
Yes.
Kyle Guy from Virginia.
Okay.
Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And maybe the most forgotten of the bunch, Joel Berry.
Oh.
Of North Carolina.
Okay.
Who won it when the Tar Heels won here in Arizona.
Oh, that's right.
When they beat Gonzaga.
That's right.
Completely forgot about that.
Gonzaga's lost two of the last four title games.
Yeah.
Get it together, Bulldogs.
Speaking of college basketball, do you see that U of A Stanford championship game, highest rated women's championship game in 7 years?
Really?
Well, imagine if one of the teams would have shot more than 28% in the ratings.
Yeah, layups are not our specialty.
That was such a that was the only down. Side of that championship game was...
Did you guys talk about the end of that game at all yesterday?
No.
No.
Because there's a lot of debate on that last play that Arizona tried to run.
Right.
Where their best player, Arian McDonald, was triple-teamed.
Mm-hmm.
And there were players open. And she still almost made the shot, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe she got it that close.
Yeah.
You got to get the ball in your best player's hand. And she's so small that when you're a triple team like that, I don't blame her for not being able to find...
It was a pretty swarming defense.
She would have had to pass through Cameron Brink, the one who's like 6'5", to get to the second best shooter, Trinity Baptiste, and that just would not have happened. That would have been a turnover.
I will say this. We had some fun with Arizona being in the finals. We had the debate last week. I was really, really happy to see all the reaction on social media from Arizona fans and even casual sports fans saying, wow, I really love this team because, you know, I support women's basketball. I have for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Next November. Don't wait until March to get behind your team.
Yes.
They try just as hard all season long.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Is that what's up?
That is what's up. Go to a women's basketball game every once in a while. Put it on your TV. Let's go.
A thing that day. I wish I would.
Are you writing a bad parody song?
Did you watch? You watched the championship game, right?
Yeah. I watched the Final Four game and the championship game.
You didn't watch the other games earlier than that?
I this tournament I watched.
Do you think you will continue to watch U of A women's basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I don't understand is with all the time we all spend watching sports, how you two find time to watch regular television is beyond me.
I really don't watch.
I have an answer. It's called having no life.
The only other television I really watch at all are game shows.
Wow.
And wrestling.
Wait, he wins. He really has no
<Wait a minute>.
Hey, Danny. Danny boy, do you see the Red Sox new uniforms? They're a little bit controversial.
Uh-huh.
So Nike's coming out with these things called the City Connect jerseys, kind of playing along with what the NBA does with the City Edition jerseys. Red Sox are the first ones to release their jerseys. Now, they're bright yellow. Have you seen these? They're bright yellow, and they're patterned. They have a Boston Marathon
Yeah,
theme.
I like that look. I don't like the bright yellow, but the Boston is cool.
I know a lot of people who are very much traditionalists when it comes to team colors, and I'm normally one of those people. Mm-hmm. I really like that design. And what's exciting about it, in this ESPN article, it reads, the City Connect series will start with seven teams with scattered unveil dates. The Red Sox, Miami Marlins, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, and then on June 18th, the Arizona Diamondbacks will have a City Connection jersey.
Oh, okay.
Wonder
that
what that'll
exciting.
Be. Also, the Giants and Dodgers will get the City Connect jerseys, too. I mean, the hat with the B like that, that looks like a UCLA hat, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no red at all in the Red Sox there.
I know.
No, but again.
How come the White Sox wear black socks? I always wondered that. You're a Chicago guy, Dan. Why do the White Sox wear black socks?
Do they wear black socks?
Don't they? The stirrups are black.
Nobody wears stirrups.
But stirrups
anymore.
Aren't socks.
Yeah, socks are.
Well, everybody
the
wears white socks then, and they wear the stirrups over them.
Right, but the socks are white.
You just defeated your own argument. All right, we got to get to some quick sports, bad sports predictions from Sarah's Twitter feed here. let's see. Nothing's popping up. Hold on. Openly question the young Diamondback spending bonkers money on aging Randy Johnson. That was from Johnny. That's a good one to admit. I was firmly on Team Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning.
I was not.
Yeah, good for you.
But I was on Team Leinart and Team Manziel.
Chuck says, I thought LeBron James would fail. Yeah, he's dominated high school and AAU, but wait till he plays 82 games.
Do you see David Cruz's?
No, what was his?
I made a presentation on the timeline in one of my college classes. Imagine getting up there to explain how Josh Jackson, Dragan Bender, and Marquise Chris were going to bring the Suns back to relevancy.
Oh, wow. No.
David!
Wow. Thanks to Darren Gant. Thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow. Burns and Gamble up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.